subtitle, The Teaching is the Path. John, Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 6. And it's interesting, I noticed in your manifestation, Fred, you know, God's talked about the path. John 14, 6. And it says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And that word, the way, could also be translated path. He is the path to God. That was the entire purpose of Jesus Christ's life, to restore that which was broken thousands of years before when Adam turned over, he walked away from God, turned over dominion to Satan. That's how this world's so messed up. That's why we can't trust the news media, we can't trust the government, can't trust the politicians. Because Satan got in there and messed it all up. But he is the way. Jesus saith unto him. Now, there's several things that Jesus is referred to in the Bible. I'm going to specifically hone in on four of those. I mean, he's also called the Son of God, the Son of Man, Lord, things like that. I'm not getting into those. But he's referred to as Jesus. He's referred to as Christ. He's referred to as Jesus Christ, and he's also referred to as Christ Jesus. There's a good little 3 or 4 page study by E.W. Boehringer you can find on the internet, Names of Jesus. It's actually very good.
And I think it's in the appendix of the Bible, too.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. You can find it on the internet. Actually, I think I have a link to it on my website, maybe. It's referred to as Jesus. Jesus is a man of sorrows. He's just the human being, body and soul, flesh, who humbled himself to death for us. And then the second one is Jesus Christ. And it's the man who became the Christ. When he's referred to that way, he's the man who became the Christ, the man who is now glorified. So it's Jesus the man, but also the Messiah. Christ can also be translated Messiah. Then there's the term Christ Jesus, and when it's used, puts Christ first and then Jesus, it's emphasizing the glorified, resurrected one, but it's also including the humanity part. And then when he's referred to as Christ, it's the anointed one, the Messiah, the risen, glorified one. And some of these definitions, I mean, you can look, Boehringer's got a lot longer. I just broke it down to a sentence. He's got like whole paragraphs defining this stuff. And sometimes you can over-define things, but basically this is the root concept here. And like in the Gospels, you see quite often he's referred to just as Jesus. Yet in the Epistles, you see quite often he's referred to just as Christ. We're right here in John chapter 14. And this is interesting because there's a good friend of mine who's also a minister that I was talking with on the internet, and his ministry, they're doing a weekend in the Word this weekend about relationship with Jesus. And we were having a discussion, I was asking him to define what this is, and he really couldn't define it to my satisfaction. And I really think that the purpose of Jesus Christ's life was to be the path to the Father, not that he's there that we can have a relationship with him. John 14:1, he's saying, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. See, these men literally had a personal relationship with Jesus because he was right there. He was body and soul, was there with them. He was their friend. He was their leader. They literally had that relationship. But you read here, these men were upset because Jesus Christ was going to be absent. He was going to leave. He had to go for us to be born again. He had to ascend into heaven. I don't understand everything, why the legal things of how God does everything. You know, if we understood that, my brain couldn't contain it. You know, this little thing would just explode. You know, we can't handle all that knowledge. We see through a glass darkly, but we do understand some of this stuff. Verse 3, I go to prepare a place for you. I will come and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way you know. And Thomas said, what's this way you're talking about? What's this path? What's the path, huh? What are you talking about? And that's where he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Without him doing what he did, we could have never got born again. We could never have the power we have. In Romans chapter 10, starting in, I actually could do the whole chapter here. And he's talking about in verse 1, he said, my heart's desire for Israel is that they get saved. Verse 2, but he said, they have great zeal for God, but they don't have the right knowledge. Verse 3, they are ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted themselves unto the righteous. They're trying to be justified by doing the Old Testament law. And even in the Old Testament, that wasn't a very good way to get to God, but it was the best that was available. And there was only one man, one body and soul man, that actually did the law and did it right, and that was Jesus, the man. He's the only man that ever did it right. Everybody else, one of us failed. What's that old prayer they had years ago? The guy saying, well, Lord, you know, it's another day. So far I haven't sinned today. But in a few minutes, I got to get out of bed and go out in the world. You know, and some of us sin before we leave the house in the morning. Right. And these people, they were sinning by not accepting. Sin basically is you're missing the mark. Not, you know, God made this wonderful thing available. And they say, oh yeah, that's great that we can get born again and we got this, but I want to do it my way. I got to get circumcised, and I got to do this law, and I got to do this, and I got to do this. Woe's me, I got to bear the burden. You see, in the Old Testament, you ever seen that? The burden of the prophet so-and-so, and the burden of the Lord, oh. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ said, my burden is light. It's pretty easy to get born again. You make Jesus your Lord. And it's interesting that it starts here, let's skip ahead to a verse, that if thou shalt, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, it doesn't say the Lord Christ, because you can't just haphazardly flip these words around. God uses Christ where it's supposed to be used. He uses Jesus where it's supposed to be used. He uses Christ Jesus where it's, you can't just randomly flip it. You hear a lot of churches and a lot of Christians and a lot of ministries that just will just use Jesus for everything. Well, there's four terms. You have to use the right one in the right place. The reason why it says Lord Jesus here, if it said Lord Christ, your whole Bible would fall apart. You know why? Because the body and soul man comes to God. He sees the man Jesus, how he was died, was made Lord, and was crucified and raised again from the dead. He sees that. That's the front. That's the first step of the path. So this path goes a ways, but that's the first step. Is you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe that God raised him from the dead. That's the first step on our journey. And it's not a difficult journey, but you have to you have to put forth some effort. If I'm going to go walk into the kitchen right now and get myself a cup of coffee, I have to actually take, you know, maybe 23 steps or something, whatever it is. It's a little bit effort. It's not hugely effort, you know, but it's it takes a little bit effort. You know, as we get older, sometimes a little more effort. But it's not impossible. It's interesting. Bollinger makes a statement. He says, our status with God is never in Jesus. Our status with God is in Christ. And it's like there was a ministry I used to be part of that's doing that weekend in the Word with relationship with Jesus. And in their headquarters in Ohio, they've got this big banner that says, our focus, Jesus, our focus, or something like that. Well, you know, that's the first step. You're focusing on the first step. The real power is Christ. The real power is not the first step. The real power is Christ. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I've really been reading a lot of 1 Corinthians lately. It's an amazing book. Chapter 2. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Chapter 2, verse 7. Sorry. We speak the word of God, wisdom of God in a mystery. And it's not a mystery because it's hard to understand. It's a mystery because it was hidden. It's a very simple truth that any 12-year-old, probably a 6-year-old, could understand. Even the hidden wisdom of God, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world, talking about Satan and all his devil spirit realm, knew. For had they known it, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. Colossians chapter 1, a verse we probably all know but memorized many years ago, 1:26 and 27. Again, it's talking about the mystery hath been hid from ages and generations, but is now made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Doesn't say Jesus in you. Because Jesus in us, that would just be, how do you do that? How do you get another body, soul person inside you? But spiritually.
You take communion?
Take communion? Yeah, that's a whole different thing. Roman Catholic communion, yeah. Yeah, little wafers. How come we don't get the blood, Father? You know, there's Roman Catholics. I'm sorry, I'm digressing. Sorry. But that was funny, Fred.
I've been reading a lot about the Reformation.
That was, by the way, this last Halloween was the 500th anniversary of Martin Luther nailing the 95 Theses on the Roman Catholic church door. And that started something. He never expected to be that big a thing that he started. But because of that, we have our, if somebody hadn't taken a stand like that, like I was talking to you, Robert, before fellowship. Sometimes walking with God, you got to make a stand and ruffle a few feathers. Martin Luther definitely did that. He took a stand, and he basically, the Roman Catholics wanted to kill him. He had a death sentence on his head.
They killed others.
They killed others, but God protected him. Yeah.